In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling amongst us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, David. Let us pray. Father God, as we look at this familiar passage, I just pray that you'll give us open ears, open hearts, and open minds to look at these words afresh, to see what you are saying to us, challenging us this evening. Amen. Do you ever look at a familiar photo and suddenly see something new in it that you've not recognised before? Or you see a photograph by a professional photographer that speaks so much more than that two-dimensional image that you look at. A couple of years ago, there was an exhibition of photographs from the Holocaust survivors, and they were taken by various photographers. And the photos captured the joy of the survival, but also a glimpse of what somebody had gone through. If you looked at the image, they were all taken with the survivor and their grandchildren. So if you just looked at it on the surface, you'd just see a grandparent and their grandchildren. But actually, if you looked a little closer, there was something in the image that didn't quite fit. There was one that had a cooking pot in it and a teddy bear. And they were things, items that they'd had throughout the time of the war when they were in concentration camps. And it was just something about those images that made you look even closer. The photographers captured something more than just a grandfather and his grandchildren. You saw something of their character, something of what they'd been through, a glimpse of their history, and made you want to know more. So this familiar passage that we're looking at today, we're going to look at the images of Jesus through the lens of John's Gospel. A passage that's probably very familiar to us. And I don't know about you, but sometimes when I read a familiar passage, I skip over the words because I know it. It's something that I've read time and time again. So tonight we're going to delve into some detail. We're going to look at Jesus as God's self-portrait and have a look at some of the images behind these familiar words. Now, John 1, as David said, is always included in carol services, certainly ones I've been to. And as a child, I remember not really understanding it. As I was saying to Lorna and Hannah before the start of the service, far too many words beginning with W. We had word and world and was and would. And then there was light and life, and it was all a bit much. I much preferred the readings about angels and shepherds and Mary and Joseph and the donkey and baby Jesus in the manger. I remember used to thinking, what has this got to do with the Christmas story? It just didn't fit for me. And as I've grown up, I've come to see the importance of this passage, particularly at this time of year. But this sermon has been a real joy and a challenge to me, a challenge because it is such a complex passage. but a joy because I do feel I understand it a little bit more. So hopefully it'll help you guys as well. We're going to see how this passage at the start of John's Gospel pulls together the various images of Jesus so we can pause and take a step back and have a look at what the whole picture might look like. We're going to look at the image of the Word, the image of light and life, the image of rejection, the image of the way home to God, and finally, the image of God amongst us. These first verses of John's Gospel are a powerful declaration of who God and who Jesus is. The opening words, "in the beginning," mirror the opening verse of the book of Genesis. "In the beginning, God created the heavens and earth." And here John starts with, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning." And then at the end of our passage, verse 14, John clearly identifies the Word as Jesus. "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling amongst us." So here, right at the start of the Gospel, John is making clear that Jesus' existence is in eternity past with God, that Jesus is divine. In every way, he is God. He was with God and was God even in the beginning. He was never not God. I said it was complex. The term "Word," which confused me so much when I was young, is from the Greek logos, which in Greek philosophy signified the concept of an impersonal principle of reason that gave order to the universe. But it also has a rich Old Testament history. In the Old Testament, God's word was the means by which God speaks and acts. If we look at the opening chapter of Genesis, we see God speaking and the world comes into existence. God created the heavens and earth. And then on each day, God said, and another part of creation came into being. So here in the New Testament, John is showing us that Jesus is the Word through whom we hear the voice and see God's actions. But more than that, he is showing how the concept of the Word is superior to that of the Greek philosophical concept of logos. John is setting out the building blocks that go into the doctrine of the Trinity. The phrase, "the Word was with God," indicates an interpersonal relationship with God. And then we read, "and the Word was God," which shows us that this Word was also the same God who created the universe in the beginning. It is all a bit complex to get your head around, or it certainly is for me. But if we think about it within the theme of this evening's talk around the different images this passage shows us about Jesus, I think what John is saying is Jesus is God and was with God at the start of creation. Jesus wasn't created because he was with God at the very beginning. Jesus is also the Word through whom we hear the voice of God and encounter him throughout the Bible today. The next image I want us to explore is that of life and light. And verses 4 and 5 say, "In him was life. And that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." And then verse 9, "The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world." Throughout John's Gospel, we see references to Jesus being both light and life. The word "life" appears 36 times, far more than any other New Testament book. Paul only uses it 37 times in all of his letters. So the word "life" in these verses, it's not just about our life here on earth, but more importantly, it's our spiritual, our eternal life that Jesus leads us to. The last part of verse 15 in chapter 3 of John's Gospel says, "Everyone who believes may have eternal life in him." John is highlighting to us that Jesus is eternal, and through him, we too can have eternal life. And that promise is like a beacon of light to us, drawing us to Jesus to follow him as our Lord and Saviour so that we will be saved. In the Bible, the word light often has a symbol of purity and holiness. And by way of contrast, dark is aligned with sin and evil. And this is summed up beautifully in 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 and 7, which say, God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin. Both life and light are distinct qualities associated with the Word, with Jesus. And these same qualities are given to those who recognise and accept him as Jesus as Saviour and Lord. Jesus came into this dark and broken world full of sin and is the beacon of light, of hope and the certain promise of eternal life. I remember on a school trip going to the Blue John Caves in Derbyshire, and as we wandered around at one point they turned out all the lights. I think it's the first time I've understood the phrase, you can't see your hand in front of your face. You could see nothing, not even the person that was this close to you. And yet when a single torch was turned on, it pierced through the darkness. And that's the wonderful image of Jesus here. I love that promise in verse 5. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. No matter how dark this world gets, how hard life becomes, Jesus is still there. Nothing can conquer the light of Christ. His enemies thought they had defeated him when they put him to death on the cross. But even death could not extinguish the light of Christ, for he rose again 3 days later. So the image we are seeing here is that the light leads us to eternal life in Jesus. The light symbolises that sure and certain hope we have in him. And that light overcomes the darkness of sin and death. But we also use light in phrases when we talk about raising our awareness or our understanding. We've used phrases like, let me shine a light on that for you, or I had a light bulb moment. So in this context, Jesus as the light also brings understanding and awareness in this dark world. It's through reading about Jesus, reading his words in the Bible, that we grow in our understanding as to what it means to be a Christian and how we can live lives that are obedient to him and bring him glory. We need to understand so that we take the right actions and live the right way. Later on in John's Gospel, in chapter 14, verse 6, we see the wonderful I am phrase. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus is the way to the Father. He is the light who will lead us there and give us understanding. He is the truth for us to follow, and he is the life that gives eternal life. Jesus is the light that shines in the darkness of death, because the darkness has not overcome it. And in these dark times, it is his light we need to follow. Our next image of Jesus is one of rejection. In verses 10 and 11, it says, he was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. These verses mark a shift away from the creation narrative and shines a lens on God's people, the Jews, and their rejection of the Messiah. We know the Easter story where Jesus faces the ultimate rejection when he is sent to death on the cross. But at Christmas time, we reflect that when Jesus came to earth, it didn't just end in rejection, but it started with rejection. He was born in a stable because there was no room at the inn. Mary and Joseph were rejected by the innkeeper. Jesus started his life here on earth, in a way, rejected. The Message translation for verses 10 and 11, I think, is really helpful. It says, he was in the world was there through him, and yet the world didn't even notice. He came to his own people, but they didn't want him. Here we see two responses from people when they're introduced to Jesus, and they're responses that we still see today. Firstly, Jesus is ignored. He was in the world, he was here on earth, he was the Messiah come to fulfill the Old Testament prophecies. The Messiah the Jews had been waiting for, and yet they ignored him. They didn't want to know or didn't believe he was who he said he was. And then worse than that, they rejected him. Rejected because they didn't believe he was the Messiah. They were expecting someone who would free them from the Romans, who'd be a warrior and a fighter for their cause, a king who would rule over them. He was rejected because people didn't listen to his message that he was the Son of God, and the only way to the Father was through him. And finally rejected by being sent to his death on the cross, killed by those he came to save. And we see the same thing happening today. People ignoring and rejecting Jesus, maybe because they don't know and understand him, or they don't think he's relevant, or they feel they simply don't need him. The challenge for us is to ensure that we live our lives as we don't ignore or reject Jesus. It's just so easy, isn't it, to get on with life thinking we don't particularly need him, particularly if things are going well or we're just very busy. We need to make sure we recognise the light that is Jesus and turn and follow him and not reject him. Our next image is Jesus as the way home to God, the point at which heaven and earth intersect, and shows us what happens when we don't reject Jesus, but that we receive him. Verses 12 and 13 are full of the sure and certain hope we have when we believe in Jesus. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. It's a funny phrase, isn't it? Yet to all who did receive him. You know, when we receive something, we get it. You know, we hope to receive presents at Christmas, don't we? Physical things that we get. So this is much more than an awareness of Jesus or a knowledge of who he was and what he did. It's, as one commentary puts it, it's welcoming and submitting to Jesus in a personal relationship. And the phrase believed in comes from the Greek, which implies a personal trust. Again, underlining that this is a personal commitment, a personal relationship with Jesus. And when we put our trust in Jesus, we are a new creation and children within his family. Jesus came for all who believe, Jew and Gentile. It doesn't matter who we are, where we were born, what our parents believed. We each have an opportunity to accept Jesus as our Lord and Saviour. And when we do, Jesus leads us home, back to the Father. It's through God's amazing grace that we are saved, that we are born of God. Jesus died for our sins so that we don't have to. He died on the cross in our place so that we can live forever with God. And our final image is Jesus as God amongst us. Verse 14, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. The Word became flesh. God took on human form and lived among humanity as one who was both God and human at the same time. He made us dwelling amongst us, literally from the Greek, pitched his tent, an allusion to God's dwelling among the Israelites in the tabernacle. In the Old Testament, God had manifested his presence to his people and only in the temple or the tabernacle. Now God takes up residence among his people in the incarnate Word, Jesus. Jesus lived among us. He experienced many of the things we experience and more that we won't. He was tempted. He got angry. He cried. He was rejected and was killed. I love the verses in Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 to 16. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, Let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to feel sympathy for our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. These verses remind us that there's not a single thing that we might face that Jesus doesn't identify with. And as the writer of Hebrews points out, that makes him uniquely qualified to meet our needs. Jesus lived among us. He pitched his tent in the middle of this dark and broken world and shone a light directing us back to the Father. The references to God's glory refer back again to the Old Testament, when God's presence and glory could only be seen in the temple. But Jesus changed all that. God was walking amongst us on earth for all to see. And we now have the Holy Spirit dwelling in us, so we can see and rejoice in God's glory wherever we are. Jesus, the one and only Son of God, that is one of a kind, unique Son, who is exactly like his Father in all attributes, became human, so that we can see God's glory when we look at him. But what does that mean for us today? We can't see Jesus in the flesh. He isn't here living with us right now in 2021. For us, it's about seeing Jesus in the Bible, seeing how he lived, what he said, and if we're Christians, trying to live the way he calls us to, so that we might shine his light into the darkness. There are those wonderful verses in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5, verses 14 to 16. You are a light to the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. That is our calling, to follow Jesus in being God's light in this dark world. These verses in John's Gospel, so familiar to us, especially at Christmas, may be verses we've skipped over because either they're so familiar, but also because they're not the easiest to understand. They're so full of imagery of who God is through Jesus, and that enabled us to really begin to understand the depth of who Jesus is, and how he is the perfect self-portrait of God, because he is God. The challenge for us as we look at these images of Jesus is to take a step back, to reflect on the whole picture it creates, which isn't complete. There are so many more images that we could add to those few we've looked at already. But the challenge for us is, how do we live our lives that show even just a glimpse of who Jesus shows us he is, so that our lives can reflect his glory? So to end, I'm going to lead us through a short reflection. On your tables, there's a list of images, so if you want to take a piece of paper. These are from Tim Chester's book, One True Light, which I can really recommend. It's a great Advent daily readings book. They were included in the home group guide that Martin and Sam have developed for us. So for those of you in a home group, you may get to do this exercise again later in the week, but I don't think that really matters. So I'm going to read through the list. You might want to have it in front of you, or you might want to sit with your eyes closed and just listen, whatever feels most comfortable for you. As I read them, and in a time of quiet afterwards, just reflect on the statements. Think about one that captures your heart the most or challenges you the most. Once I've read them, there'll be a period of silence. And during that time, just reflect and spend some time in prayer, maybe giving thanks to God for those images or just pondering on the picture, the bigger picture that it creates. And then I'll close in prayer. So let us pray. Father God, as we reflect on these images of your Son, in particular maybe one or two that resonate with us, I pray, Father, that you show to each one of us what it is you want us to see in that particular image, or images, what you want to teach us through that image. Open our ears and hearts and minds to hear your voice. Jesus is the true Adam, who has come to recreate our humanity. Jesus is the true God, the uncreated Creator God. Jesus is the Word through whom we hear the voice of God. Jesus is the Word through whom God created the world and through whom God is recreating the world. Jesus is the one who has been given life in himself so he can give life to his people. Jesus is the true light who enlightens our minds and lights up our lives. Jesus is the point at which heaven and earth intersect. Jesus is God in the flesh, deity squeezed into human form. Jesus is divine wisdom, love, holiness, justice, truth in human form. Jesus is God among us, God's address on earth. Jesus is the glory of God, the embodiment of all his perfections. Jesus is God's native language, the word we encounter in the Bible. Jesus is the way home to God. Jesus is the King who cares for us, the bread who satisfies us, and the light who guides us. Jesus is the radiance of God, whose glory transforms us as we gaze upon him. Jesus is the Son of God, in whom we experience the love of the Father. Jesus is the altogether lovely one who brings us into the loving arms of his Father. Father God, as we reflect on all these images, we know that even they don't show us the complete picture of Jesus. But help us during this busy Advent season not to be so busy that we fail to stop, take a step back, and help us see the whole picture of what Christmas is really about. Help us to take time to give thanks that you sent your Son into the darkness of our broken world to be the light that leads us back to you. Rejected and killed for our sins, we give thanks that Jesus obediently went to his death on the cross, that we might have eternal life. Father God, we give thanks for these wonderful verses that show us so many images of Jesus and which reflect your glory. Help us to live lives that also reflect your glory. Help us bring your light into the world that people may come to know you for themselves. Through Jesus Christ, our Saviour. Amen.